Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your next episode of the Bite-Sized Blessings podcast. This time, I'm introducing you to Lance Psycho, who, besides for being an avid fisherman, and he does share a really sweet and powerful fishing story on the show, he's also a dynamic serial entrepreneur, award-winning architect, and co-founder of F9 Productions, a leading design-build firm in Northern Colorado. So what I really appreciated about this episode is that when I contacted Lance and asked him to be on the show, he said, you know, I've got half an hour. How does that work for you? And I thought, yes, I'm just going to go with it. Normally my shows are more than half an hour, but I wanted to hear what Lance had to say. And all I have to tell you is that he is so good at telling stories. He is so good at getting to the point and sharing powerful, powerful encounters in his life that I really just sat back and I listened to him. And I was in awe of the miracle story that he shared this week. It has to do with ancestry. It has to do with family. And it has to do with legacy and anger. And what does it look like when that spirit in the heavens, that divine force or God, steps in and decides to heal everyone all at once?
My son called me a couple days into it. I think it was... gosh, he would have been like 10. And he's crying and he's upset. And he's like, Grandpa yelled at me. And I just kind of lost it. I just got really angry because it was like, oh, now you're doing it to my son. Like, what are we doing here? So I called my brother and I go, and I was yelling, you know, complaining to him about it. And I go, what would it be like if he did that to Lawson? Lawson's his son. I was, you know, trying to make him be empathetic to the situation. And he goes, he really wouldn't answer the question, which is fair. And instead he goes, I think you need to find out who your real dad is. And I go, what? And then something, this is, you know, between 20, this would have been like 25 and 33. So about like 8 to 10 years, somewhere in there, about 23, 20, about a whole decade. I just kind of fell away, and I would describe myself as sort of agnostic, not atheist, but agnostic, that sort of thing. And then in between my first and second marriages, I had my children all, like I was raising them all by myself, pretty much. It was difficult. And, you know, I was kind of a mama bear and a daddy bear at the same time. That's a lot. And I would send my children. So, you know, we live in Colorado. My whole family's in North Dakota. Like, we have no family down here still. But I would send my children up there for spring break, half of the Christmas break, Thanksgiving break. And then actually usually like 4 to 6 weeks in the summer. And they would get, so that's how they would get their, you know, make sure that their they got close to grandma, grandpa, their uncles, their aunts, the cousins who are all their age, pretty much like my daughter and my brother's daughter, my niece. They're like best friends. I mean, they're like 5 days apart. They've had birthdays together, you know, that sort of thing. So I would send them up there. Well, right before I sent them up there for this one Christmas, I got into like my third fist fight with my dad. Like I said, even 13 was not getting along with this guy. And this was kind of the one where it was like, ah, now I'm a grown man and is much stronger. And so I ended up kicking him out of my house because he was staying with us for a weekend or something like that. It was over like salmon, you know, it was over like dinner. It was ridiculous. Kicked him out. And then I got to host Christmas that year in Colorado. Hosting Christmas is very awkward for him. It's been hilarious for me because I'm like a very confrontational person. Not in a bad way, just like I'm not afraid to just like, let's just talk about this, whatever it is. So they came down He had a terrible time. Everybody else had a great time. My kids, as a routine, got sent up there for, you know, and then I'd fly them back or whatever. It was very routine for our family to do this. And my son calls me a couple days into it. I think he would have been like 10. And he's crying and he's upset. And he's like, "Grandpa yelled at me." And I just kind of lost it. This guy just got really angry because it was like, "Oh, now you're doing it to my son. Like, what are we doing here?" So I called my brother and I go and I was yelling, you know, complaining to him about it. And I go, what would it be like if he did that to Lawson? Lawson's his son. As a, you know, trying to make him be empathetic to the situation. And he goes, he really wouldn't answer the question, which is fair. And instead he goes, "I think you need to find out who your real dad is." And I go, "What?" I go, "What?" Because I'm 6 years older than my brother. And I look pretty Caucasian, but I'm, you know, kind of, I'm mixed Native American, but mostly Caucasian, like mostly of European descent, like mostly French, English, and Portuguese. And my brother, though, he looks like he walked out of Last of the Mohicans. I mean, like very jet black hair, dark. And our dad who raised us is very white, like as white as can be. So when I was growing up, I would always be that mean older brother. And I would tell my brother, like, "That's not your real dad. Like, that's my real dad." Because they would call us salt and pepper, you know, like I was salt, he was pepper. I mean, this is, you know, family stuff. So I think it ate at Luke for a long time, obviously. And when Luke was in seventh grade and I was a freshman in college, Luke was looking through the yearbooks at we had the K through 12 school, very, very small. All the yearbooks were still there from when my mom was in high school. He's flipping through it and he sees this picture of this guy. He's like, "What?" Like right next to my mom. He's like, "That looks like Lance." And his wife, now wife, which is his high school / even junior high sweetheart, Jen, was like, "Oh my God, that does." His name is Cesar Pedrosa. And so Luke goes home that night and finds another copy of the yearbook in her closet. And Jen was there that night too. And he opens it up and shows her. My dad was out. My dad was working like in Montana or something. I can't remember, like this. He was out of state. Opens it up. Shows my mom and he goes, "Hey, who's Cesar Pedrosa? Looks just like Lance." She rips up the book. And Luke tells me about this when I come home for Christmas. And I was like in college. I didn't care. You know, I was about to have my first child. I was like, I just don't care. I'm actually getting along with my dad. Like, I don't care, you know? And so I didn't even think about it until then, you know, I was 33. Then he brings it up and I'm like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "Oh yeah. And I go, "Okay." I'm angry. Right. So I go, "Okay, let's do this. If we're going to do this, then you know what can happen if it's like, if this really comes out, you know what's like this means." "Oh yeah, I know what it means." He's like, I love you. You need to find out." "Okay." So I go, "Send me a picture." So he goes back to the library. This is when he's a grown man, goes back to the library, takes a picture, gives it to me. Before I reach out to this guy though, and find this person, you know, I had sent over, I made a Photoshop of me and Cesar next to each other, sent it to like old girlfriends, my fiance at the time, now wife. And I go, "Just give me your reaction when you look at this picture." And they go, "You guys look familiar. You guys look similar." Okay. So I went to Facebook and I typed in Cesar Pedrosa. Wham, 101 mutuals or something. I'm like, "What the heck? Well, that's crazy." Same guy. I friend him because I know at that time, this would have been, 2017. Yeah, something like that. When I was 33, 42, 2015, I know at that time, like, because I was an avid social media user, like, "Oh, you got to friend somebody to be able to message them directly and all that." So he accepted it. And I messaged him and I told a lie at first. I said, "Hey, my name is Lance. You went to You went to school with my mother. Her name is Charlotte, and I'm doing my PhD paper on her. Like, I'm not doing a PhD. I don't know why I said that, but I did. And he goes, "Oh, I don't know, Charlotte." I go, "Okay." So I thought about it for a few hours, and I go, "Okay, I'm not doing my PhD paper. Here's the deal. Like, my mother's name," and I used her actual, like, her. She has a nickname that everybody uses, BZ. Not Charlotte. I don't know why I said Charlotte. And I go, "You went to school with her?" I showed him the side-by-side picture, and I go, "Look, I've never looked at another guy in my whole life and said, that's my dad. I just never felt that's me." And I go, "I'm not here. I'm well-to-do. I'm not here for money. You know, I'm just here for the truth." And he goes, "When were you born?" I told him the numbers. And then he starts doing, you can tell he's typing and doing some math. And he comes back and he goes, "Huh." And he goes, I go, "Well, why don't we just pause the conversation for today? And why don't you just sleep on it? If you never want to talk to me again, then don't. But if you do, message me in the morning." And so I didn't sleep that night. And I got a message right away in the morning, like 3 or 4 a.m. and said, "Let's make a test." That's what he said. "Let's make a test." He speaks okay English. So I ordered a test. One swab went to Denver. One swab went to Brazil. But that's where he was. He was a foreign exchange student for like 6 weeks. And so the whole time that I'm waiting for these test results to get back. By the way, just to remind everybody who's listening, is like, this is out of anger. I'm doing this out of anger. I'm searching for the truth out of anger, because I wanted to use this as a battering ram against the dad who raised me. I wanted to hurt him. The whole time I just wanted to just wreck him. And so 30 days passes, and I get the PET test back. And I'm just like increasing the anger. I'm just like just boiling up. It's like, "Oh, I can't wait. And I open up the envelope and it's like, "You are 99.99999. And it was like an out of body experience, because I could see the anger lifting out of me. And I was so angry that the anger was leaving. And all I could say was, "God," I was just crying out to God. I was like, "What are you doing? Like, what are you doing right now? Why are you, don't." And then, I don't know if it's my voice or another voice, but the thought came through my head, which was, "You idiot, like, God knows you better than you. He made you. This is all part of his plan."
A wrap on my conversation with Lance Psycho. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And if you too kind of struggle with relationships in your life or with family, maybe you, by listening to this conversation, can find a way forward to heal what is broken. To learn a little bit more about Lance and the work that he does in the world, that he's doing, and everything that he's creating, well, there will be a few links in the episode's show notes. I urge you to do a deeper dive on this very funny and very pithy and wise human being. I want to thank everybody who listens to this podcast. It is a labor of love, and how lucky am I that I get to bring stories from all over the world of people who have experienced mystifying and magical events. If you do like what you're hearing, please consider going to the platform of your choice and leaving a rating or a review. Those ratings and reviews help other people find us. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Lance. There's no doubt in my mind that Lance is open to the wonder in the world and to the healing that he kind of didn't even know he needed. You know, he could have fought it. He could have railed against it. He could have said, "No, I still want to hang on to this anger because it gives me life. It gives me purpose in some part of my life. It gives me meaning. But he was open to the change. He was open to the release. And he was open to the healing that that encounter with the divine gave him. And look what happened. It opened a whole new life full of beauty, full of relationship, and full of family that he didn't even know he had. So be like Lance and be open to the change that the divine, that the spirit, that God or goddess wants to bring in your life. Because I guarantee you, even though it might be painful, even though it might cause some suffering, there's going to be beauty at the end of it. There's going to be something that changes your life. So yeah, go forward and be open, everyone. And I'll see you so very soon for the very next episode of the podcast.